Before we open God's word, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we go back to this Sermon on the Mount today and consider this sermon, another section of it, we pray for the Holy Spirit that we will understand what we're reading, to be drawn closer to you. It's our prayer this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Last time I was here, I looked at the first three points in the Sermon on the Mount, which was 2, 3, 4, and 5. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they. Blessed are they which do hunger. Today we are going to go back to verse 6 actually. Yeah, blessed are the poor, mourn, blessed are the meek, was verse 5. Verse 6, 6 to 8 we're going to look at today. If we read these verses out, we read, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. In verse 7 we've got, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. In verse 6, we got, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. You know, when Jesus put this point in, we find now the subject of this sermon takes a turn. Because we're now looking at attitudes. Attitudes. And the first thing that is brought to bear is, but where is our focus? What do we focus upon? Or more to the point, who do we focus upon? If we are to focus upon the things of heaven, then there has to be a reason for us to do so. There has to be a motive for us to look to Jesus. And the question that I ask myself is, why am I looking to Jesus? Why? Why do I look to him? Why do I try to do the things that he would have me to do? What's my motive? 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Come with me there. I've got to have a motive for me to look to Jesus. I've got to have a motive for me to look to heaven. 1 John chapter 4. And verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. What a statement. God is love. God loves you. He loves us very much. More than that is his desire to be able to dwell in us and for us to dwell in him. Is God dwelling in you today? Do you ask for him to come and to dwell in your heart each day? Because back in verse 8, 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, we read these words. He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. As we consider these words, a couple of points are made. God will not abide in one. that does not love him. If we don't know love, then we don't know God. It may sound a little bit simple, but really, it is that simple. And yes, even that hard. We read the statement that God is love. It is really a statement of fact. And that fact is still real for the day. God is still love. God still loves you. He loves me. So to begin this thirst for the better things of life, to begin this thirst after righteousness, then we begin with a search for the love of God. To know that love. To know him. And we could ask that question, but hang on a minute. How real is that love? How real is that love that we are talking about here? And then we come to the next verse, 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. God sent his Son. What a picture. That God so loved us that he was willing to send Jesus to take the punishment that we all deserve. You know, we know that verse so well, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, etc. We love that verse. But I cannot help but wonder sometimes whether we are guilty of still missing the point of that verse. Because all too often when we read, for God so loved the world, we automatically, subconsciously think that the world is out there. The world's a big place, isn't it? And we think the world is just out there. But you see, this morning, if I just change that verse a little bit, so that I now say, for God so loved Crystal, that he gave his only Son. For God so loved Sean. For God so loved Sarah. Put your name there. For God so loved you. Bit different to saying for God so loved the world, doesn't it? Makes it a bit more personal. And yet that's the way God is. That's the way God is. God so loved. God so loved. And yet even the best of us will never measure up to the standard that heaven is looking for. The fact is that we all need a Saviour. But in the seeking of this, of God, yes, you discovered that God is love. But in the seeking and searching after righteousness, what you also have to come in contact with is his law. To come in contact with the law of God, what does that mean? Psalms 119, come with me there. Psalms Psalms 119, verse 172. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments of righteousness. Romans 13, come with me there. Romans 13, here we have an interesting verse. Romans 13, verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbour. Therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Really? Is it that simple, that love is the fulfilling of the law? I'm reminded of an experience I had on the farm growing up. Interestingly enough, it involves a cat as well. We had a stray cat come to our place. Three-legged cat. As wild you can make it. It was black, pitch black in colour. Wild thing. And my mum was starting to despair about this thing. She said, how on earth can I ever tame this cat? Because no matter what we tried to do, nothing was working. And then one day, Mum was happened to be out on the line, and she was putting her clothes on the line, washing the line, and the cat came and just rubbed itself against Mum's leg. Mum just stood still. And the cat hung around, rubbed itself a bit some more. And bit by bit, by that simple act, just standing still, letting the cat have its way, there formed a beautiful relationship between us and that cat. We didn't have to tell it the rules. No way, it was obedient. Why? Love. Love. Love and obedience go hand in hand. See, Jesus himself said those beautiful words in John 14. Come with me there. He makes a very interesting point about love. Love. John 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep the commandments. It is a simple sentence, but what a message for it all, for us all. If you love me, keep my commandments. It is straight to the point. There is no room for misunderstanding. And yet how many of us are so willing to ignore the point that is made in this sentence? If you love me, please. If you want to take me seriously, please. If you want to follow me, please. If you want to be part of heaven, yes. Obey the commandments. You see, if you are hungering and thirsting for the things above, it all begins with a simple equation of loving and obeying the one who made you. And who was willing to give Jesus, the Saviour from sin. Matthew chapter 5. We just read verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. If you're looking for Jesus, if you're loving him, if you are obeying him, if you're studying his word, you will be filled. Verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. What is the point of this statement? And who is given, who is being given the blessing? We could begin with the question of really, how merciful are you? Are you willing to give mercy to others when they hurt you? Are you willing to show mercy to others even when you feel they do not deserve it? Mark 11. Come with me there. Mark 11. You see, in the prayer that Jesus prayed, what we call the Lord's Prayer, this point is made. No, this is not the Lord's Prayer just yet. But in Mark 11:25-26, we read, "And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught any against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." What a challenge. Do you want mercy for yourself when you're in the wrong? Of course you do. Then we need to be willing to show mercy to others. That's the rules. Do you want God to forgive you, to be forgiving of you when you do wrong? Then hey, then we need to be forgiving of others when they fail you. But then, you know, we say that in all things we need an example to follow. Has that been the case? Exodus 34, come with me there. What an example to follow. Exodus 34. Here we get a picture of God in verse 6 and 7. "And the Lord passed before him, Moses, and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children till the third and the fourth generation.'" You know, as we begin with these two verses we just read, we get a picture of God who is long-suffering, merciful, gracious, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy, forgiving iniquity. How do we measure up to that? To be merciful? Could we ever be this loving and kind to others? Could we be this gracious? In the prayer of Jesus, now we'll go to it, Matthew chapter 6. We know it as the Lord's Prayer. Matthew chapter 6. And in verse 12 we read those words, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." It is put very simply, and how correct it is to give mercy, you receive mercy. And it's not just talking about other people. We can also include in this your relationship between you and God. If you want God to be merciful to you, how we need to be merciful to others. If you want the mercy from heaven, then hey, show mercy to those who are around you. But here is a promise. A beautiful promise that is given in Proverbs 11. Come with me there. A beautiful promise in Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs 11 verse 25. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. You know, what you do for others will not turn back to you void. That God is there for you, that he will see you through. God's there. God's there. It is what we call love in action. It is God's love. God has love for you. God has love for us each one. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the merciful, we just read. For they shall obtain mercy. And then we come to verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. They will see God. These people will hold on to him and don't let go of his hand. Can we get another picture from these people that are pure in heart? Psalms 15. Come with me there. Psalms 15. The pure in heart. Begin with verse 1. It asks a question. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Verse 2 it says, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. Then it goes on. People who are, we would call, fair dinkum. They are honest with God. They're fair dinkum. They are committed to their walk with him. They are committed to him. Hebrews chapter 12. Come with me there. Hebrews chapter 12. Here we get another insight to the attitude of these people. Hebrews 12 verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see God. Do we have the attitude of peace? Do we have the attitude of being kind to people? Holiness. These people have a desire to walk as Jesus walked, to be a good example of what Jesus is all about, to be followers of his word and law, to love, to show mercy, to be pure in heart. To put it simply, that let us do all, that we all do as Jesus would do and follow his example. You know, it's a challenge and it seems very, very hard. So where is there a promise for us in all of this? Or is there no promises here? Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. You know, if we are to walk as Jesus walked, if we are to take this seriously, what's the reward? Proverbs 22, verse 11. He that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips the king shall be his friend. Think about it. If we walk the way Jesus wants us to walk, if we follow him sincerely with our heart, then he promises us that he will walk beside us. He will be our friend. We can come to him with confidence, knowing that he is interested in all that we do. But with this relationship with Jesus, what do we see as being the foundation? Is it not love? Is it not mercy? Is it not being pure in heart? You see, God loves us. He loves you. He's given everything that we might have that relationship with him. And my question is this morning, have you found that experience in your life? Because you can have it if you want it, even today. Dear Heavenly Father, may we know that experience of going home one day, forever thy child to be. As we enter into the week that lies ahead, may your Spirit walk before us and keep us safe, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.